We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Amen. So again, how do I know when God is speaking to me? This is one of the biggest questions a pastor ever receives. Hence why I'm taking many weeks on this. There's three things I always want to put out there right away. A, God is speaking. He is already speaking to you. And the reality is oftentimes when God is speaking to us, we don't know it's God. In fact, most of the time, we push it off like it was a good thought we had that we don't want to do. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Like, why would I do that? I know it's probably good, but that's a lot of work. Why do I do that? I know it's good, but I don't feel like forgiving them. Oh. Okay, so God is speaking, and he's already speaking to you. Number two, God wants you to understand what he's saying. He wants you to understand what he's saying. In fact, you know, when I think of the Bible, it talks about God speaking. He doesn't speak for nothing. Some people would say God is a God of few words after he wrote the Bible, right? That's a lot of words if you're going through the Bible in a year to this year. Anyone doing that with me? Going through the Bible? Anyone still on pace reading the Bible? Get the word in you so that the Holy Spirit can bring remembrance of it to you, okay? And so God, he is speaking, and he wants you to understand. That's why Jesus said, that's why I now call you friends, because I've told you everything the Father has told me. He wants you to understand. And see, God speaks creatively. What does that mean? That means that I'm going to have to really put focus to trying to hear what God says, because people say, well, if he wants me to hear, why doesn't he just speak up? And I always give this principle. God loves to whisper because we have to lean in to what he's saying. And when we lean in, it creates relationship. It creates this desire, this seeking, this waiting upon the Lord. Are you getting this, church? So some of the ways God speaks are through his word, capital W, the word, the Bible, right? His son, his spirit, the Holy Spirit. He also speaks through people, his people, through prayer, through prophecy, through dreams. Last week we talked about how he speaks through visions and in steps and stages, right? And also through signs. See, God is speaking, but oftentimes people aren't listening. Look what Job 33 says. It says, for God does speak now one way, now another, though no one perceives it. God is speaking and he's trying to speak to you, but he wants you to lean in. He wants you to understand what he's trying to say, okay? And so last week I taught on the vision that Peter had when he was in Joppa, which is now modern day Jaffa in Israel, okay? And so he was waiting on the Lord during his prayer time, waiting for food. Anybody been waiting for food? And so you're like, what do I do? Well, you might as well pray. That's what Peter did. And Peter was praying and he had this vision, and we had this picnic blanket come down from heaven. Anyone remember this? And then on the blanket was a bunch of unclean animals. The Jewish people were not supposed to eat the piggly wigglies and the reptiles and all these different birds of choice. They were all on the picnic blankets, right? And in this vision, Peter hears God say, Peter, kill and eat. And what happens? Peter says, no. I've been raised in the Torah. I know the law, the first five books of the Old Testament. I know what you said in your instructions. I'm not going to eat anything unclean. But it happens again and again and again. Three times the picnic blanket comes down. Yes, and he says, kill and eat, right? And so this vision, he's trying to understand it. But then as we go through the story, as soon as he's trying to understand this, The Holy Spirit tells him, men are coming. I've sent them. Go with them. Okay? He goes downstairs, and guess what he finds? Gentiles. Not Hebrew people. So in the Old Testament, in the first five books of the law, it talked about not having anything to do with those that were not Jewish. Okay? It would make you unclean, ceremonially unclean. What does that mean? You could not present offerings to the Lord because you were unclean based on either what you ate, where you were, what you touched. Okay? So now he has this vision. He now sees these Gentiles whom God sent to him. And he's thinking, am I being punked right now? Where's the camera? What is going on? But he follows the voice of the Lord. He goes to the centurion's house named Cornelius, who is a righteous man whom God respects and loves, right? We see this. And so he goes to Cornelius's house, and he's sitting here thinking, like, what on earth is going on? Why am I here? And Cornelius says, an angel has appeared to me and told me to search for you, where to find you, and that you should come and tell me everything you know. Okay? And Peter is putting all the puzzle pieces together. He's like, nope, spin that. You sure, God? Okay. All right. And so he's trying to go through this, but we learn that God speaks through signs. That's where we left off last week. God speaks through signs. The fact that that Peter finds out that there was an angelic visitation, the fact that a Gentile had received an angel, the fact that God has made a way for the... Who's a Gentile? Let's stop. Gentile. There are the Jewish people, and then there's the rest of the world called Gentiles. If you are not from Jewish descent, you are a Gentile. Okay? And so now he's sitting here thinking, you've sent an angel to the Gentiles, to non-Jews, and now I'm here to preach the message that I thought was reserved just for us. I thought we were special. And so he's kind of winging out here. He's trying to figure it out. And so we see that God has spoken through a sign that the angels show up. And then what happens? Peter says this in Acts 10:34. It says, then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. Can I tell you, you should be clapping right now, because God has accepted you now when he didn't before. That's the beautiful thing of the New Testament, the grace that we live in, the new promise. That's what the word testament means, new promise or agreement that we're now living under because of Jesus. Okay? So I'm just trying to catch up. That's all. I haven't even started preaching yet. So what happens? It's a moment where Peter realizes this was not about the picnic blanket. This was about God's new arrangement for all mankind to come, be on the blanket, and anyone God calls clean, they are clean. Amen? That's me. That's you. Not because of what we did, because of what Jesus did for us, and because we're willing to get on the blanket. Oh, going to church is hard. Get on the blanket. Serving God is hard. Get on the blanket. Walking in faith is hard. Get on the blanket. But God, I can't. Get on the blanket! It's on the blanket that we're clean. That's what the vision was about. It was about we didn't have to be Jewish any longer. Get on the blanket! Tell your neighbor, get on the blanket. Just get on the blanket. Okay, I'll move on. So Peter began preaching the gospel. In this house, full of Cornelius' friends and family, Peter begins preaching the gospel. And this is what happens. We're still talking signs. We're going to see another one. Are you ready? Drum roll. Okay. All right, Acts 10:44 says this. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. Say, Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. That's another sign. God is saying, oh, yeah, no, I meant for you to come and preach the message. And kaboom. And all these people start speaking in unknown tongues. How many know God does things in weird ways? How many know you're kind of weird? How many know you're kind of okay with yourself? So you should kind of get okay with how God does weird things. So I don't know why God chose the Holy Spirit to be speaking in tongues. I don't know why it sounds oftentimes like gibberish. But what I know is if God's in it, I'm in it. If God's in it, I'm okay with it, even though it can be weird. That's just me being real. So we see these Gentiles now, angelic visitation, being filled with the Holy Spirit before they've even been baptized. I think God's trying to prove a point. God speaks through signs. Tell your neighbor, God speaks through signs. So when the Holy Spirit fell and these Gentiles were speaking in tongues, it was yet again another sign. Not only is God offering his redemption to those who are not Jewish, he is filling them with the Holy Spirit that Jesus himself said that the Father would send. What does that mean? All of these extra amazing benefits are even being offered. How many people have ever seen one of those commercials where a cell phone company is trying to get new customers and they're like, this guy walks in, he's like, I want your best plan. I want like the benefits, the package, everything. This guy that's an existing customer goes, no, I want the best plan. And they start going, almost like they're going to fight over who gets the best benefits. And the company's like, we're just going to give it to everybody, okay? And that's what God's saying. He's looking at the Jewish going, this is our benefits. And he's looking at the Gentile, can I have the best benefits? He goes, you get on the blanket. Get on the blanket. And everyone can have the benefits. And so, again, another sign. So God doesn't make mistakes. That's a big thing. God doesn't make mistakes. So this was a sign. Then Peter said this in verse 47. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered them, ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. It was a party. Peter, just hang out for a while. So here's the thing. God, he speaks in a lot of ways. One of the ways he speaks is through signs. This is a big deal because how many understand it's easy to miss signs? Oftentimes we take coincidence as just mere coincidence. Sometimes it's a sign. Okay, so the sign was clear. Peter knew that Gentiles were certainly accepted into what God was doing, and God had confirmed now twice through different signs. So how could anyone oppose Gentiles receiving water baptism if God was already filling them with the Holy Spirit? Are you getting this? Mind blown, amazing. So God speaks through signs. He's still speaking through signs, but it's important to remember signs from God will never contradict his word, who he is, himself. God doesn't contradict it. You're like, I got a sign. And it's like, well, that's against verse blah and verse blah. Go to chapter this and blah, blah. No, that wasn't a sign. That was a bad dream. No, you literally just happened to fall in that place with that piece of trash laying right there. Okay, I'm just trying to give you some examples here. So when God speaks, he will often complement what he is saying with other confirmations, other signs, things we call coincidences and other creative ways in which he speaks. So listen, as I was thinking about this, I know that this is Mother's Day, and one of the most fun things I would do in this moment is actually take a text or scripture or a story where it talks about how a mom had heard the voice of God. And so I was going through such amazing mother's stories. I was going through the story of Mary and Sarah and Rachel and even Samson's mom and getting ready to pull a story in for mothers. And then I actually felt like God kind of brought something to my remembrance. And in the midst of me trying to really make a story fit, I remembered when God had spoken to my mother. And as a child, I grew up hearing God speak to my mother. And I thought, how amazing on Mother's Day would it be if I brought my mother up here for Q&A. So come on, give her a hand as she comes. Give her a hand as she comes. Have you go right over here. I'm allowed to hug her. So come on over. Say hello to everyone.
Good morning.
Is the microphone on for you?
Yep.
There it is. Say hello to
hello.
Everyone.
Happy Mother's Day. All the beautiful moms. Oh, I don't want to fall off of this stool
don't
here.
Don't fall off the seat. They're meant to look good, not be good. Okay, are you okay? Are you okay?
Okay, yes. Thank you, dear.
So, first of all, I love my mother. Like, I can't say enough. I know all of my siblings feel the same way, and anyone that's called Metro Church home for any period of time just knows how the giftings my mother has, how genuine she is. And for those that don't know, she was part of the duo, the founding pastors that founded this church back in 1985 with six people in a living room with a word from God. And look at us now. God's doing something, right? And so, you know, as I was thinking about this, Mom, I was thinking about back when you knew God was trying to speak to you about moving over 500 miles away, leaving everything you had to begin pioneering a church based on a word. And I remembered a very specific story that she told me when I was younger about God giving her a sign. But before she gets there, she's got to kind of go back and give the pretext to how it went. So could you kind of just tell us a little bit, the first time God began to speak to you about this church?
Okay. Pastor Dawn and I had actually just built a beautiful home on 2.5 acres of property that my mother and father gave me as an inheritance. And we had just, you know, just was so excited building that home. Our three sons, Ryan, Brent, and Chad, we were all there. It was just absolutely the dream of my life. Of course, I loved and honored God. Pastor Don, at that time, was the assistant pastor of our church there in Virginia. And one evening, Don came home from work, and he walked in the house to greet us, me and the boys. And the first thing he said was, "We may not always be in this house." And I looked at him. I'm like, "Did I just hear what he said?" And I looked at him again, and I'm sorry to say, as a pastor's wife, my flesh just took over.
Say it. Say it.
And I looked at him and I said, "You may not always be in this house." That was bad. But I was just so floored by it. I just could not even begin to understand where on earth he was coming from. So I was just letting him know where I was with this whole thing. So
open communication's a good thing in marriage.
So, you know, we went on, and I have always been a person that prayed. I've just, even back in those days, as him being the assistant pastor there at the church in Richmond, I would pray. In fact, I would go to my closet and pray. I'd put Chad and Brent down for their nap, their afternoon nap, and that was my time. So I would go, and I would get on my face before God, pray, and it was in the closet during that time. So one day, I was praying there, just praying in the Spirit, and it was just amazing. The presence of God was so real there. And praying in the Spirit, the words began to come out of my mouth in English. And I'm like, wow. And God was saying to me at that time, "I know you love me, but how much do you love me? Do you love me more than mother, father, house, and lands?" And I'm like, "Well, I believe I do." And then the voice of the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "Feed my sheep." And I'm like, "Well, okay. You know, we're doing that. We're in church. He's pastoring. Everything is going well." And so I just put that in my heart. I held that in my heart of what God was saying to me about feeding his sheep. And so the next time that I, you know, was praying and seeking God, because I knew that day God was saying something to me.
So
and
the very first time,
yeah,
you were in your prayer closet praying,
right.
You ended up getting the still small voice that said, "Feed my sheep."
Yeah.
All right, so God is now speaking to her in one way, and now let's talk about the second time. You're back praying.
Yep. Back praying, and I came out of my prayer closet and walked into the kitchen, a beautiful home, and Brent and Chad were back in their bedroom, you know, playing. They were together there, and they were playing in the room, and I called Brent's name. I said, "Brent," and I stood still, because his name echoed through the house. And I called his name again, "Brent," and the name echoed.
As if the house was empty.
As if the house was empty. And God spoke to me, and he said, "This house is empty, you're gonna leave it." And I'm like, whoa, okay. All right, so, you know, I went on, I kept continuing praying, and the third time, God spoke to me.
So let me pause there one more time.
Okay.
Yep. So now we're seeing a sign, this echo through the house. So now we've had the still small voice say, "Feed my sheep." We've now had this sign where there's this echoing Brent through the house. Another still small voice that says, "This house is empty. You're going to leave it." Are you seeing God using different ways to communicate his message? Now let's talk about the third time.
Okay, so I decided the third time I was getting out of the closet. I wasn't praying back there anymore. I was going to move to a beautiful family room where I could bow, I could kneel next to the sofa, and I could put my Bible right there, you know, in front of me while I prayed. So what happened that time, I was just praying, thanking God, and I decided with the open Bible laying there, I would look down at the scripture. And when I looked down, my eyes fell on Matthew 26:41. It said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but your flesh is weak." And I thought, uh-oh, God's speaking to me. You know what I did? I took that Bible, I flipped those pages. I just turned that Bible. I thought, just go to another chapter. And so I flipped the pages, and I landed in Luke. I looked down at the scriptures, and it said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The flesh is weak, but your spirit, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And I know that God confirms always in the Bible what he's already said. It was a confirmation in my spirit. So
how many times we say, "God, speak to me," then he says, and we try and move on, and he says it again. That's good.
Yeah, okay.
And so shortly after that,
our pastors, Pastor Steve and Sharon, there in Richmond, Virginia, they asked us, would we come here to Massachusetts to meet people here that were interested in having a church like I was there? And so I had to think about that. And I thought, well, yeah, if that's the will of God, amen, we'll go. And so we brought Ryan with us. He did not want us to go alone. We left the kids at home, the two younger boys. And so we came here and we met, the families here in Mass that wanted for there to be a church started here. And we asked, after meeting the family and everything, and Pastor Steve had asked that the elders and the deacons at the church back in Virginia would be fasting and praying about what God would have us do when we returned. So after spending a short while here and meeting family and everything, we just were going back to hear what God would have said through the elders and the deacons. So we went into a meeting that evening with them, and it was just unbelievable. Words of knowledge, wisdom. The Spirit was speaking through the elders and deacons there, confirming this is where we were to begin our ministry. So it was done. I wasn't going to go against the will of God if it meant leaving everything that we had to come here. And we did. And I can honestly say today with all of my heart, I have no regrets. I'm not saying we didn't go through hell coming here,
right?
Because we were up against it with these New England people, I'm sorry to say. Okay, but we knew that whatever God had called us to, through his power, he would give us the strength, he would give us the courage, he would give us the anointing, and the will of God would be done. Come hell or high water, it was going to be done. We were not turning back. We were not leaving Mass. And so here we are today, just amazing. And I want to say, all of our children, our Ryan, our Brent, Pastor Chad, and my beautiful daughter Stephanie, was born here in New England, because I thought after a while, Lord, I need a daughter. I got to have somebody. I just needed a daughter to talk with and to just be with. And so God answered that prayer. And oh, my goodness, we're just a blessed family. God is good. God is faithful. We're not going anywhere.
And all of the kids are in the church there.
Yes, and all of our children, Ryan, Brent, Chad, Stephanie, their spouses, our grandchildren, 8 grandchildren. Isn't that awesome? And you know, they're all being raised in God's house. And so to me, the will of God goes on and on and on through the generations. That's and so.
Yeah. Come on, can we give her a hand? What an amazing story. Do you have me, church, out there? Can you hear me?
All right, this is what we do. What I love is that some people will say, man, how could God use me? What's he going to do with me? What was so amazing about that story is actually that it was one family that came to Virginia and visited the church in Virginia and said, we need a church like that in Massachusetts, and actually came home, and it was through one family that this exists. God can use one person that's just willing to say yes to God. And so we're thankful for that, aren't we? And we honor our founding pastor, my mother. We honor my children's mother, my wife, Pastor Julie. But I've got to wrap this thing up here. But I want you to know God speaks in creative ways. He speaks in ways that confirms what he's already said. And oftentimes it's through his word that he will inevitably confirm what he's trying to say to you. If you're saying, God, are you speaking to me? Then dig into the word. Begin to ask God to confirm what you're asking. Is that from you? And so, although I had so much more, I believe that that was perfect. I believe it was perfect. And I just want you to know, church, that God is speaking. He's trying to speak to you. He speaks in creative ways. Some of you might say, well, I feel like I haven't heard God speak in a very, very long time. I'll tell you, there's a few different things. Obviously, number one, if he has told you something and you haven't acted on that, he's not going to continue to speak. Go back to the last thing he said and make sure you handle that. Handle it well. Another thing is God, he's not going to shout. So if your mind is full of carnal things, and you find yourselves continually going back and choosing other things before God, it's going to be hard to hear him when the world is that loud in your ear. You're going to have to quiet things down to hear God. But what you need to start saying is, God, I thank you for talking to me. I thank you for speaking to me. And I ask that you help me understand what it is you're trying to say. And I believe God will begin to help you understand as you receive the message.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.